Hey guys, it's your favorite sisters with the Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver show on UK Health Radio. On the show, you'll hear caregivers confessing the good, the bad, and the completely unexpected. You're guaranteed to relate, be inspired, leave with helpful tips and resources, and of course, laugh. Now, let's get to today's confession. I really want to start with, good morning, JJ Hill.
Oh, my Lord.
Good morning. Good morning.
No,
it's great to see you, lovey. Good morning. Good morning to you.
You know, I think we got this whole singing thing from Mom because she used to come in and sing, rise and shine, and you've got the glory, glory, rise and shine,
and give God, and you've got the glory, glory,
rise and shine, and
give God the glory,
glory, children.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, and that was, there's your morning tune. Gosh, I hope you're listening to this at like 6 a.m.
You know otherwise. What? They probably turned it off right now. They're like, they're not going to talk about caregiving today.
Yes, it's all singing. You know what we are going to talk about today?
Woo! What are we going to talk about, Jay?
Ourselves.
Oh, it's like going to therapy. I love therapy because it's all about me. Emily would say, younger sister Emily would say, it's always about you, Natalie. You're right.
So this is quarterly update.
It's a sister update.
It is, and it is, let's go ahead and say it, a hot mess. Ooh. It's always a hot mess, though. Welcome to caregiving.
Yeah. Well, and you know, here's the thing, guys. We're going to tell you this. We're on a new platform. We normally record on Zoom, and so now we're going to record on Riverside. And I don't know, they don't pay us for telling you guys this, but there's all kinds of extra media that we can put in.
Oh, Lord.
And so I feel like anytime I say something wonderful, you might hear this. Look, I don't know how to use it, Jay.
Oh, come
wait,
on,
got,
do
got it.
It.
No, stop it. Stop. Why is it not doing it? Oh my God. We're going to lose listeners because of my stupidity.
Okay, so thanks everybody for coming, and I guess we will.
Let's go ahead and get started.
Yeah, because we're having actually so much fun already.
Oh my gosh, so we got
we'll
so much to talk about.
Stuff. Yeah. So, you know, we do. So,
let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I didn't call her an elephant.
Yeah, it's, you didn't. So, you know, I guess this, the past 3 months, it has been a reflection time. That's what we're going to talk about.
Reflections in caregiving. Maybe we'll title this one Reflections. Yes. I'm going to jot that down.
Write that down because we won't remember it in, you know, 45 minutes because we're old. Yeah. So we celebrated our 1 year podcast anniversary. And at the, I know Natalie's dancing if you haven't seen this. So at the 1 year mark, you kind of always go, okay, let's kind of regroup and let's see what was going on. Like, why are we doing this? Have we lost our minds?
Wait, did anyone listen? Besides me going back to make sure I got a download. Like, well, at least I had one. I listened to myself and I didn't. Yeah, I listened to myself.
So I think like, I'm like, why are we doing this? And is it, you know, what's going on? Like, is it
helpful? You're over there stumbling around.
Yeah. And so, you know, the first thing I want to do is say that I think it is.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
And, you know, we talk about the things that are four goals, inspire, relate, educate, and laugh. Okay. Laugh, check.
We always get laugh. We laugh at ourselves. We count that.
And yeah, I know. And so one of the other things though is relate. And so I think we come on and we are going to tell you that we are in the same hot mess. We have the same situations. And the past quarter has been no different. Let's just give a full update. Yesterday, Natalie,
what?
I was having a full-blown breakdown.
Was it a snot sandwich kind of breakdown?
It was sort of snot sandwich, but then it was sort of like fury. Like my face turned as red as my hair.
Ooh, you had all the emotions, didn't you?
I did. I was like, hot mess, need therapy. Like, I don't drink even, but it was like, I'm going to have to start drinking because the facility mom had to cancel her neurology appointment. She needs to see her neurologist like once a month. And so, and they had called me and said, hey, we had to cancel your mom's appointment. We didn't have transportation. Okay. And that's a hard thing for me because, you know, I live so far away. You live far away. And Emily, you know, sadly, she has a full-time job and lives an hour and a half away.
Did you say sadly, she has a full-time job?
Yeah, I know, sadly. I mean, sadly.
No, we want you to have like, a job, Emily.
Yeah.
Good job.
I mean, most people as caregivers, they have a full-time job.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you're trying to make a living here. And they said, you know, we had to cancel your mom's appointment. We didn't have transportation. Someone else had an appointment.
She wasn't just getting blood work. She wasn't just going for an annual physical. She was going to her neurologist who manages her medication.
Yeah, manages and checks to see how far her Parkinson's has progressed. And then also how her main medicine is working to see how her movement disorder has progressed. And so they canceled it. And then they called and said, hey, we have a conflict for your mom's appointment and we are going to have to cancel it if you can't get transportation for her.
Notice it says, if you can't.
Yeah, it just like, I was like, I'm sorry, what? Who, what? So just so you'll know, Uber does offer a healthcare service. but yeah, so that was really frustrating for me. So, you know, I called everybody I knew. We almost put up a Facebook post. But it was like, we cannot miss another appointment. That appointment was Monday at 8 o'clock. And so we cannot miss another appointment. And, you know, I called Emily. She was like, I've got so many things on Monday. I cannot cancel. I'm already full of appointments for myself. And so finally, after we just realized we can't do this, Emily has canceled all of her morning stuff. I mean, that's how desperate we got. And we've had to take it on so mom won't miss her appointment. So that was it.
And I will say this, you can be like frustrated. I'm going to tell you, I was just flat out mad. And mad because it's in the contract. So folks, I am very, very much on a regulatory side of the house. This is what I do for a living. I work in government affairs and so forth. But I've run congregate settings before. I ran them for adolescents. But the reality is congregates congregate, which means they're not living in the home. You're living in a skilled nursing facility in this case. And it's their job. And I said to you, Jay, last night, and excuse the language. So if you have small people listening, I don't actually give a damn if your CEO takes my mom to the hospital to have her appointment or not, because you're contracted to do that. And I have this, and you said, whoa, because I am like the Kraken. Like, I'm like, release the Kraken, please let me call. And then we're like, well, and guys, I think this is going to be a relatable moment. Like, I know I can call and I can push. And I can push, and I have every, like, from a regulatory standpoint, I have everything I can do. I'm justified in saying you have to take her. You're contracted with Medicaid and Medicare. Well, Medicaid to do this. You're contracted to do this. And there is this fear, and I don't have fear, but there is this very real fear that we will become a problem and there will be this answer that comes back to us because we've heard it before. We're not able to really meet your mom's needs here, and she's going to have to go somewhere else. And that is code for you're a problem. And we run this fine line because mom is placed in a facility that is right near all of our family. They come and visit. And the next closest place that had approved her was 2 hours away. And we can't do that. We can't punish my mom when I feel so helpless. It just makes me so angry, and all I want to do. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I could call the ombudsman. So if you don't know what an ombudsman is, there's ombudsmen for children. These are advocates that advocate on behalf of individuals. Okay. I could call them. There's also ombudsmen for aging population, and I could call them and they could call the facility and it could still have the same effect. And so families are put in this place where I feel hostage right now. I feel like I have no ability to advocate for mom. And that makes me feel like a failure. It feels like I'm failing mom.
That's it.
I'm failing mom. This is not about being right. This is about I'm failing my mom.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm almost like, okay, I can drive the 18 hours or get on a plane and make sure she gets to her appointment. And the appointment, you know, it's that important. But then it always takes me back to, oh my gosh, there are so many people that are out there that they're just fighting to get their, they work. And there's not like all of us, like there's not three that we're all trying to coordinate. And they just need to get someone to a doctor's appointment. So I did find some stuff, although I was a little last minute. I did do my research like fast. Mm-hmm. And so if your family member is on Medicare, Medicaid, like there's programs out there. You got to dig. So there was ETHRA, which was one of the, it's East Tennessee, I think. East Tennessee.
Did you spell that? Is that an acronym?
I don't think it's everywhere, but it's whatever the transportation is for the aging population. They do offer this if you don't have a car. But it was, they didn't run late enough, but there is in your Medicaid programs, there is non-emergency transportation. It's covered.
Right.
And so just so you'll know, if mom needs a little bit more care, like she needs a little bit more help getting in these appointments, but there's also mileage coverage. So if you are doing your best to survive, like you are like short on, you are putting every penny you have into trying to be the best caregiver you can be. First of all, you might just look into it. That's all we're saying. And there's that, but there's also coverage in the state of Tennessee. I know, let's look into it, but they would actually, if I'd scheduled it 72 hours in advance, they would have done, because it's non-emergency transportation. I was shocked.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm not shocked because we have Medicaid transport for children, for appointments, and that works for adults too. And you're right. There are rules around this. And so let's just be really clear, friends. We're talking about Medicaid and Medicare. Let's remember, Medicare does not pay for long-term supports like congregate settings. So they don't pay for skilled nursing. They may pay for rehab and a window of time, but they don't pay for skilled nursing, otherwise known as nursing homes to the older people who I'm like, oh, those are trendy new names. They're just nursing homes when we were growing up. Yeah. And so I think that's really important because our mom is dual eligibility, Medicare and Medicaid. Now, I think this is important. Just if you only have Medicare, that doesn't mean you can't have supports. But what it means is you want to call that 800 number on the back of your card and ask questions about, I'm having problems with transportation. I am concerned. And here's the interesting part. The fact that Medicaid will transport an individual in a skilled nursing facility if the facility can't is a new one to me. And so I think this is so important. We are going to tell you, call the number, ask the care manager, ask the representative from your health plan, regardless of whatever your health plan is, because everybody's got different benefits. And especially if you've chosen Medicare Advantage plan, and they are different from state to state. So whoever your Medicare Advantage plan is, and I know they just closed enrollment, but they also have extended enrollment periods throughout the year. So you want to cross check, because that's one of the things we did. We changed our mom's Medicare Advantage plan so there would be additional benefits, and we just didn't have any clue. It can feel exceptionally overwhelming. And so you can get a broker. And a broker doesn't cost you anything. They get paid for by a different pot of money, but you don't have to pay for brokers, and they can help you figure out your needs. You can even call the 800 number for Medicare. I talked to them before. They're great. They're actually help you navigate programs. So I know we got off on a little sidebar. We had like this whole agenda, and then we're like, let's talk about benefits, Jay. And I know,
in summary, this is what we said. Like, this was like podcast number one. If you don't ask, they won't tell you.
Thou shalt not receive. Ask and you shall receive. And here's the thing. Just because you ask, you might have to ask a couple of times, because
just ask different people.
Ask different people. And it's almost like a second opinion and a third opinion and a fourth opinion. And I'm looking for the most consistent opinion, honestly. Yeah. And of course it would be, does it line up with what I want?
And that is like the summary. Like, that is it. Because if I had known a little bit in advance, and sadly, I would just have to dig for it.
You know, you wonder why the skilled nursing facility didn't say, hey, we'll help and coordinate transportation through Medicaid transport. Because honestly, I feel like I bet that it was their responsibility to call. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure they're just like, because, you know, the part, and we'll kind of transition on after this, but the part that makes me the most nervous are for the people in skilled nursing facilities who don't have people who are connected to them, who advocate for them. There's so many people who have no visitors and that sort of thing. So I'm a huge fan of volunteering in skilled nursing facilities because we don't send them there to die. It's just a different level of care that they need. And so I get scared for those people who need those same appointments as mom, because it's not like, you know, oh, well, Parkinson's only goes to, you know, the people who have children who can watch after their diagnoses and all the symptoms that follow and the medical needs. No, it's not. So I think that's really important that it's finding the sweet spot in advocacy. And we'll talk about advocacy. It'll be sprinkled throughout this show throughout the whole time. So
if you have a family member that doesn't drive, always call.
Yeah. And so Jay, let's, gosh, we're right at 15 minutes. We've been bantering on this topic. This is going to be the longest episode ever, but, let's take a break and we'll come right back and we're going to switch into something else.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
So thank you guys. We just got off a long conversation.
Otherwise known as a rant.
Don't ask. I know. If you don't ask, they won't tell you. And getting transportation for loved ones that don't drive and you can't get them to a doctor's appointment. So if you missed that, go back. So Natalie, we're back in it and we're talking about why we do it and situations that we've come across during the last quarter. And we've got another situation that we had that we're just going to touch on. And we had our aunt passed away, an aunt that was, she's one of the twins. That's
aunt
our
June.
Mom's sister.
She's Junie Looney. I grew up with my Aunt June. We're real super tight with our family. And so everybody lives in Tennessee. You're about to hear the accents come out, like our family.
Yeah.
And so our Aunt June is the first of our mom's siblings to pass. And this is, the first feels weird. I'm not going to lie to you. It felt really weird.
Yeah. But this situation ran us into, we had dealt with hospice back in 2003 with our grandmother, a very short stint. But this was hospice for our Aunt June, who had been living with cancer for about 3 years. But her twin sister, Aunt Jane.
She's part of the Holy Trinity.
Yes.
Jesus, Joel, and Aunt Jane. And we'll get to who Joel is. Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen. He's part of it as well. But it was hospice, and it was a blessing. But what the situation that we had was that Aunt Jane in the hospice situation took my Aunt June into her home and gladly did it during that situation. And my Aunt June passed away with her sister, which was like,
it seems appropriate. They started life together because they're twins and they started life together and they shared their last breath together. And you're going to get all snotty. I can feel it. I can see you getting teared up. It's fine. You're allowed to have a snot sandwich about our Aunt Jane. And Aunt Jane.
Like Aunt Jane is like, she's like my heart as well. So.
And Jane is we realize this after, because once you've like, you know, it's like the Matrix, the blue pill and the red pill. Like you can't go back. And once you realize what caregiving is, you see it all around you. And it just really you see it and you're like, holy crap. And our Aunt Jane has been caring her entire life. We're going to get her on this podcast at some point. I'm going to tell you right now, she has cared for so many people. She helps care for our mom. She cared for everybody, her husband. She's cared for Richard the whole time.
Yeah. We love you, Uncle Richard.
Yeah.
Here's the funny. She's 78 years old and she's a rock star.
Like, yeah,
she's a rock star. But I think, you know, working through with hospice and just, they were a blessing. Like I said, there was good and there was bad in the scenarios and just how hard it was.
Well, and I think this is important. I'm totally going to interrupt here. Okay. Because this was not a rainbow story. This was not a rainbow story. And people need to really be aware of this. You know, this goes into, it's hard to want to look at talking about hospice. If you don't understand hospice, you need to. And so, you know, we had our friend from Heart of Hospice.
Helen Bauer.
Love Helen. Helen came on with her siblings later. That'll be coming up this year. Helen talked about hospice a little bit, but Heart of Hospice is worth listening to. Absolutely is a fantastic podcast talking about hospice. But I'm going to tell you, we do know about hospice. And unfortunately, there were some things that they said that they couldn't do that respectfully, I didn't believe. And things that our aunt needed, she had been living by herself with her grandson. And I think she needed more care and they needed to plan for her because she was in hospice and we knew she was going to pass soon. And they put her in the skilled nursing facility, actually in the same facility as our mom. And then her insurance denied it. And they needed a little bit more time to get the house set up for June to come and stay with Jane because we did not want our aunt to pass. And Jane did not want our aunt to pass in the facility. She needed to be with family. And we do believe in that. We believe in that. And there's so many people who pass in skilled nursing and doesn't mean you're a bad person if you allow for your loved one to, but let's just be really clear. It's a family's choice. And there's a judgment-free zone. And so then we had insurance that would say no, and we're not going to pay for this. And so I look at it and Jay, I'm so troubled by this because they paid out of pocket for 3 days. My Aunt Jane paid out of pocket and they're on fixed income. And my uncle paid for one night. And I look at, this is rural East Tennessee. You don't have, like, we're not a wealthy family. And you just do it. They scraped it together and they did it. And it made me mad. And I'm sitting there trying to navigate her insurance plan to see if there's any other additional supports. And, you know, and the hospice people were great. It's not that they were like refusing care. It was just, we've just got to have better policies around this.
It's communication. And it feels like, you know, because we wanted the best care, there was so much pain and that's the hard part. And you want to get the best care, but in that part of life, you shouldn't have to fight so hard.
No.
And I think that's the hard part.
Yeah, I think that is the hard part.
You keep coming back to policy and stuff like that. And I'm like, what is the deal? Why is it like, how is insurance and government, why does that get involved with people's decision on life? I feel like that's my soapbox.
Yeah, I feel like that too. But here, I'm going to say this though, because we've got friends in Canada and the UK and about 54 other countries that listen. And so I'm going to tell you, like, this is the structure, the dysfunction of the United States aging and disabilities and serving people who need care, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not only just the people who need support, but also their caregivers. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later too. But I think about like understand your system. If you're in Canada, understand your benefits, your rights, because there are different health insurance programs and how they cover their citizens in the same way with the UK. The more that you can understand and get connected with folks, like in the US, I would say Janet Brennan, who was a guest for us, I sent another lady that I met her son. Okay. So everybody knows that I meet people all the time. I make friends with everybody. There's no free will. Like I got to meet someone yesterday, Dr. Quinn, and she was named to USA Today's top 24 women in the year, women of the year kind of thing. And I was like, she is such a badass. Like she was so awesome. And so I just think, you know,
so who's doing it right? Like that was okay. Let's go to the podcast. I mean, we talk about the stories and that's how we relate.
Yeah.
But then we also like our goal is to educate Nat.
Yeah.
So, and we can jump right into that because there are places that are doing it right. And there are places that are doing it. They need improvement.
We won't even say wrong, but I'm like, man, needs a lot of work. They're not even partially met on a treatment plan. Right.
Yeah.
And so I will say, so anyway, let me get back real quick. I met a guy at BJ's.
This cracks me up. She calls me and I'm like, Natalie, stop talking to strangers.
Yeah. And I did not listen growing up. So anyway, I lost my train of thought and apparently I just got back. So I met this guy at BJ's. Jason was with me, my husband, and he always worries that I talk to people too much, that I'm going to get killed and I'm going to be on an episode of Dateline. And we watch a lot of that stuff just so that I know how not to get killed. So I really try, and I don't mean to make fun of all that sort of thing, but I really do watch Dateline for a reason because I travel a lot and that sort of thing. And I just want to be informed. And so thank you, Dateline. I love you. And First 48 too. And so we're in BJ's and we all know Jay, you know, Kroger's the same way. BJ's is like Costco and Sam's and all these big wholesale kind of grocery stores. And I, at Kroger, they do the same thing. They play these awesome songs. And everybody knows I love to sing. And so I am singing in BJ's. And I'm thinking, and I'm singing, I'm staying in the car because I don't actually shop when I go to BJ's. It's Jason's job. He makes all the food. He does everything. And I'm just there to be a supportive wife. I am not I'm very sucky on certain things. So this guy goes, "Do you know who sings this?" And he was an older guy and he was in one of those cool motorized carts and he was shopping his day away. And he looked tired. And I was like, "Of course I know who this is. My mother had us listening to this kind of song. We had a young mom and she always had music playing in the car." And I'm like, "Clearly it was this." And he's like, he was really impressed. And so I thought,
it was Steve Winwood. Dude.
Yeah, it was Steve Winwood. "Bring me a higher love." Dun, 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 dun. "Bring me a higher love."
And moving on.
Okay, anyway. So he tells me, and I did dance. If you're watching this on video, that was what I was doing in BJ's. And he tells me that he was a bass player. And then he says, "But I don't do that anymore." And I'm like, "Why not?" And he goes, "Because I moved in with my mom and I'm a caregiver for my mom." And I thought, holy cow, I must help you. So I said, "Do you all have respite?" And he goes, because he looked exhausted, Jay. And he goes, "Yeah." "What?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "The state has in Virginia," because I'm in Virginia, and most states have this, okay? This is pushed down by the feds. Virginia has a $600 credit for respite. And you know, I know people who are listening who have done this and have bought respite be like, "Well, that's going to get me 6 hours maybe." And I'm like, "Doesn't matter. It's free. Free money, babe.
Take it.
Show me the money." And so he goes, "I don't know anything about that." And so I said, "Okay, well, let me help you." And he goes, "I never thought I'd be cleaning my mother who has to wear an adult diaper." And that's what he said. And I know it's in a brief, but that's what he said. And I said, "I think I can help you." And of course,
and then what'd you do?
And then I gave him my phone number. Jason was, "Hell are you doing?" And I'm like, "Well, he needed some help with his mom, Shirley." And he goes, "How do you know he's telling you the truth?" And I said, "Because he has that look." Yeah. He had that caregiver look of weariness and exhaustion. And so, yeah, I will tell you this. I have talked to Shirley numerous times and Shirley invited me over to her house. At this point, I'm not sure. I connected her with our friend Janet Brennan at the Area Agency on Aging in the New River Valley because like she's our person. She was on, she's had two episodes with us and she's so great. And so we're helping her and it feels great. But yeah. I just like, you can't, we're all caregivers. It was the whole thing. And yeah. I decided I probably should get some business cards. That's like, "Need some help. I can help a little." Like, I don't know it all. Like, we don't know it all.
No.
We don't know it all.
Let us get you to the right person that can help you.
Yeah. So that was really important.
So that's the state of Virginia. So, I mean, $600, I'm all over that.
I'll take it. I don't care. Shameless.
Yeah. So who else, because I know you're in this. So briefly, like who is on the money? Who is, who's helping
people? Okay, people, we got some advocacy stuff here. We're going to talk about real quick.
Let's have it.
All right. This is going to be fast. I've got 2.5 minutes before our commercial break.
Yeah. People need to know if they're in this state, they've got some options.
All right. So here's the thing. We all know 53 is the magic number. 53 million unpaid caregivers in the U.S. per a 2020 AARP. So we all know that that means it's almost 5 years since they did the study because they probably did it. It was published in 2020. So it's probably closer to 65. I think it's still underscored anyway. And it's supposed to be 75 million by 2030. It'll be well exceed that. And those 53 million people are providing more than $600 billion in unpaid care for their loved ones. And so that feels like, and so basically if you're a caregiver, you're part of the staffing plan. There are so many states.
You.
Thank you. Yeah. You're part of the staffing plan. We're relying on you. And so it is time. And I can tell you, hello, Texas. I'm smiling at Texas right now. They absolutely they absolutely plan for the amount of unpaid care as a part of their budget. It is literally in
their statistics.
They say our budget is based on this and we anticipate this number of unpaid caregivers to do this amount of care. And I'm like, what the heck? What the hell? What is wrong with you? Like, you are totally doing it on our backs. And here's the best part. Okay. So you would think, well, then Texas must be taking care of their caregivers like many of the other United States. Okay. So we're just going to talk about the U.S. on this one, our European friends. Okay. The average cost to caregivers out of pocket, don't laugh, Jay, a $7,200. That's how much the average cost is per AARP. We love our friends at AARP, okay? Because they give great stats. Yeah. And what is that? And I can tell you, we have spent astronomically more than $7,200 a year on our mom and on my husband, right? Like, that's cute. That's cute. And so here's the thing. There are six states who have tax credits for people, okay? And if you live in one of these states, they love you. They see you. They value you. And that is Montana, North Dakota, Missouri, Georgia, South Carolina, and New Jersey. There are a handful of states right now going through their legislature. They're looking to do caregiver benefits or tax credits. Okay. They're looking to do that. And Virginia was one of them, and it didn't pass. And it was only for $1,500. It was originally, and I think it actually got pushed back to $1,000. And I'm like, really? Really? And so most states, I know that Minnesota was looking at a $5,000 tax credit this year. And the feds, now here's a good part. The federal government in legislation right now through the Credit for Caregiving Act is looking at a $5,000 tax credit. And so here's the thing. This is the way that it would work. Okay. So this is important. Talk to your representative because this is really, really important. Okay. So it is expenses. You have to, this is what I'm going to read it to you, Jay. Okay. Family caregivers would have to document what family caregiving expenses they've had out of pocket above $2,000 to qualify for the credit. Okay. And so you have to demonstrate this. So you have to keep your receipts. And this is really important. The bill would help cover some of the more than $7,200 that families spend on average each year on out of pocket costs, such as home care aides. That's respite. Those are people who can come in your home. Adult daycare. We've got, remember Chris? Chris is doing some awesome stuff down in Florida. They've got a really awesome, that's a really good adult day program. Respite care, transportation, home modifications, and all kinds of other supports. So there are other kinds of supports from the state. So just keep in mind, there are under long-term services and supports for your respective state, there can be up to upwards of $1,600. There can be, I think one state has as high as $8,000 in home modifications to try to keep people in the home setting so they don't have to go out of home. Mm-hmm. So definitely, definitely, definitely check this out. But here's the thing I'm going to say to you guys. Please, please, your voice matters. And advocating to your local, state, and federal representatives, it matters. So that's what I'm going to give. And Jay, I know we're going to transition to the next section because we have to take a break.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, hey everybody, we're back and we're talking about, what is it? Like fighting for your rights. That's what I feel like.
I feel like a little bit of the Kelsey brothers. We'd love to have you on the show, by the way, Jason and Travis Kelsey, like you got to fight for your right to party. That's when Jason loves to say that. And I actually think Travis says that as well. We love you, Kelsey brothers, because we're sisters.
I mean,
and we get
they have parents. Yeah. Exactly.
They've got, you know, they have parents and they've got things. Yeah, anyway,
their parents are fantastic.
Kelsey brothers, we would love you. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. So here's the thing. And I just want to pop on this really fast. All legislators, they have emails.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I know caregivers are super busy. Some of them may have text messages.
I bet you text.
Yeah. I mean, 1 minute, just start firing off some emails.
Tag them on Facebook. Scheduling thing. Tag them. Everybody's got social media, except for TikTok, because we know what's going through the government right now.
Yeah.
But everybody has this. Reach out to your legislators. And it does not, you can say, I'm not sure what to say. It's simple. I'm a caregiver and I need your help. Because I'm going bankrupt.
Sinking.
I am sinking. I am drowning. Yeah. I need the financial support. Any amount helps.
Exactly. That's all you got to say.
That's all you got to say.
I'm a caregiver.
And I vote. And guess what? Women are the highest voters. Women vote even more than men.
Yeah.
They should be concerned. We're in a voting year, Jay. And those
individuals. Just make sure that. Yeah.
You let both parties know this is important because this is a bipartisan issue. Okay, now we're going to get off politics.
Okay,
some people are like, I don't like politics, but I'm telling you people, you want to make change, You gotta have your voice heard.
I figured that out. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to be hidden anymore.
We're not.
Be those quiet caregivers. We're going to be like,
we're kind of,
here it is.
Mad.
We want to be heard.
Dang it.
And we're going to sing. Okay. So we
I like, we're both like, okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Cause I mean, we've got a time limit.
We
got, now.
We're on fire.
Okay. Like, okay. We are on fire. Like, this is like soapbox episode. Okay. So we've talked about it. It has helped. So we've tried to give some education, but there's other things that we feel like it has helped. And I want to tell everybody that I always say we started this in the hopes that we would help others other than, you know, our family members who we hoped would listen. But we get people that will send just a short email or they'll write a review, which is like,
thank
we
you.
Get it. And we're like, wow, that was so nice of them. But you know, in the last 3 months, I'm not going to get Terry on this.
You're going to get a snot sandwich again.
I know. I got this message from a college friend on LinkedIn. I had not talked to her in over 25 years. And she sent me a message that said, thank you for your podcast. It's helping me. She's caring for her mom. And then I got a message on Facebook from this lady that I went diving with a group diving experience down in Honduras. It's been 10 years since I saw her. Mm-hmm. And she said the same thing. Thank you for your podcast. I'm taking care of my mom and it's hard. And just thank you. And I was like, oh my gosh, I never like even thought that these people would, I don't know. You don't think about it, but I always say, I hope that I bless someone, but I need for everyone, those listeners out there, I get as much or probably more. I think it's healing for me.
We always get so much more. I feel so selfish that we get to do this.
I know.
Don't you feel selfish? I mean, it's Emily. Again, Emily, going to tell you, Natalie, it's always about you. I'm like, I know.
It's
not.
Blessing.
It's really not. I promise. I'm not this selfish beagle.
I know. It's such a blessing. So there's a big thank you out there. I just wanted to say thank you. So there's something else that we've moved into is that we're going to get some time in on aftercare because we've moved into three stages of aftercare right now, three situations. Mm-hmm. And first of all, we're going to talk a little bit about Emily. I mean, she doesn't mind. We've talked about her all her life.
Emily's not here. If anybody was wondering, JJ and I are talking so much. You're like, where's Emily? And it's because she's not here with us right now.
That's right. And so when we decided to place mom in the skilled nursing facility, that was in March of last year. Almost.
Can you believe
year.
It's been a year? No, it has been a year.
It has been a year. When we did that, Emily had been a full-time caregiver for mom 24/7. And that was a hard decision to make. But after that experience, some people they're resilient and they're ready to get on with life and they want to talk about their experience and they can share it. Natalie and I are comfortable sharing the mess of it. Emily cannot. She does not want to talk about it.
She wants to forget it. She wants to forget it like Jason wants to forget his cancer. It's seriously, because Jason said, I try not to think about my cancer. And I'm thinking all you do is it consumes you and your efforts to not think about it. And Emily really does. She doesn't want to talk about it. Like it's not that. And I think this is important. She wants to do what she needs to do to be a part of taking care of our mom. But beyond that, she doesn't want to have conversations about it. It like in this kind of setting, like talking about it all the time, I think creates a lot of anxiety for her. And
I
feelings of her own feelings of the role that she's played in caring for a mom. I have my own feelings about the role that I play in caring for mom and Jason. And I
have my own feelings.
And so, and they're all valid. I'm going to validate your feelings and know that, and we're just going to keep telling you, you're doing the best you can. You are enough. You're good enough.
But with that said, there's going to be some changes around here.
With the sisters. Like, I feel like we're Catholic, but we're really Baptist.
I know, we're not. because everybody, it needs to be extended the hand of grace. And you need to be able to do life the way you can do life. And so Em may step in when she wants to.
If she wants to, we welcome her.
We welcome her always. But right now, she is.
Oh, I'm not even going to say. No, I don't even think it's not right now. Emily is stepping away. Emily's stepping away. And Emily may come on, and if it's her choice and it feels good to her, then she can do that. But this is, moving forward, it's really going to be JJ and I. And I know if there's massive, disappointment because Emily adds, and even though she doesn't say a lot, Emily's perspective is so important. And, but we love her and we love her as we should, and we accept her decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's really important. It shows you. And has caregiving changed our relationship? It has.
It has.
It has. And even the conversations around trying to coordinate care for mom, I mean, it's hard. They're hard conversations to ask one of us to say, can you change your job? And the way Emily gets paid is if she doesn't work, she doesn't get paid. And so to ask Emily, so let's go to the $600 billion of resource that we're covering. Emily will lose money because she's taking care. She's not taking PTO. She's not taking PTO. She didn't have PTO.
Yeah, she works as a 1099. She works as a self-employed. But that's the thing. There's so many people out there. So your $600 billion, like I hope that counts like all the time that everybody has to take off.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Like, the money that I didn't make, not how much. And that measly $15 an hour that they're counting the $600 billion, I guarantee you it's based on a $15 an hour. And I'm like, yeah. I can tell you right now, I ain't $15 an hour.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you're more or less, but it's just not, what I want to say is it's not an accurate reflection of the actual cost because of what she will lose out on making. And she made that choice and we are grateful to her for doing it because JJ and I can't, I'm 4 hours away. JJ's 18 hours away and we would have figured it out, but it always starts with family first and then you work your way out. It's just.
You figure it out or you have to cancel the appointment.
Or you cancel the appointment.
That's hard choices. Yeah.
And it sucks. And so anyway, so Emily is Emily will not be, you won't hear her. There may be times that she jumps on if that is what feels good to her. And we respect her and we love her. And we'll continue doing the show exactly the way we do it.
So next, aftercare. So you've got aftercare going on. Care has not stopped. So let's talk about Jason.
Oh, for God's sake, Jesus, take the wheel. So I will tell you this. I can't believe we're going to, guys, I'm going to tell you, we're going to close out the show in about 4 minutes because we'd do about 45 minutes and then we're going to have after the confession. We're going to keep talking. Yeah. And so we'll publish this for you guys. We're coming up on 2 years. We're coming up on 2 years of Jason's last treatment. And the last 2 years, June, we go back up to Memorial Sloan Kettering and we have the last scans. And there's so much fear in this. I don't feel it as much. I think I just compartmentalize it and I just put it over in a corner. And I'm super Pollyanna. I'm half full. I fully believe Jason's going to be great. But the reality is Jason lives with it every day. I think there's like little teeny cancer cells that can't be detected. They're in his body. I think that's how we both see it. We know that it's there. We know it can come back. We know that we feel that and we don't know when, and we keep trying to live our lives and it's new normal has been really hard, but it's the conversation about the mistress. Cause I refer to cancer as the mistress. She's always with us, but she has been sitting right between us because the closer we get to June 24th is when our appointment is in New York City. And I'll be putting that on reels, people. You're going to see us cause I'll make the announcement on social media because I think that's worth telling people good news. I plan on good news. And if we don't have good news, then we know exactly what we're going to walk right back into. And we're ready. Like I'm ready to just, you know, throat punch cancer. And that's how I feel about it. I'm going to throat punch. I'm like a stab in the neck. Seems a little aggressive today, but when anybody thinks about cancer, that's what you want to do. You just want to fight it off. You want to get rid of it. And so, but Jason's very nervous and it's affecting his sleep right now. And when it affects his sleep, then he's grumpy. And when he's grumpy, it makes our marriage harder and I'm grumpy and I can't do anything about it. And then, so we have to be very, very tolerant of each other. And we have to name the fact that we're struggling. We're struggling right now. And people who are like, oh, no, it's great. No, if it's great for you, good for you. But I think you're lying. I don't believe you. I hate to say that. I don't believe you because one of the two people or any person involved is struggling in their own way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So recommendations though, you guys have been able to get palliative care through your insurance.
Oh my gosh, guys. I'm going to tell you palliative care.
Ask.
Oh my God. We should have had palliative care when we were in active treatment and palliative care is not hospice. Palliative care is meant for comfort and to help navigate the system. And we have Jeannie. Oh my gosh. We love her. And I don't mind to say it, our insurance is Elevance, and which is Anthem. And Jeannie is providing that service, and it doesn't cost us anything. It's magical. She has helped us navigate through things, and she not only supports Jason, but she's also supported me. Jay, we just like need two episodes, right? So we're gonna end here.
We got more though.
We got so much more. I hope
we've got
listen.
Some more aftercare, and I'm kind of, we got some funny aftercare.
Oh my God.
We're going to talk about the Holy Trinity, Jesus, Joel, and Jane.
And I'm also going to talk about my mammogram.
And I'm going to talk about my blood work.
Like how we suck at taking care of ourselves as caregivers.
I didn't pass out though. We're going to talk about fainting goats.
Oh, so yeah. Stick Natalie, around. Come back.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
guys.
Come back.
Thanks so much for listening. Stick around. Please listen into the next after the confession. You're going to really like it. It's even better. All right, guys. Thanks
Thank
so much.
You guys. Bye-bye.
Well, friends, that's a wrap on this week's confession. Thank you so much for listening in on UK Health Radio. But before you go, please take a moment to leave us a review and tell your friends about the confession show. Don't forget, visit our website to sign up for our newsletter, sign up for the Sisterhood Advantage Club, and of course, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, TikTok, and Twitter. You'll also find the video recording of all our episodes on the Confessions website and our YouTube channel. We'll see you next Tuesday when we come together to confess again. Till then, take care of you.